Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Miracles draw attention. When miracles happen, they quickly draw a crowd. We saw this a few weeks ago. Jesus was at his friend Lazarus' house after he had died. As was usual, many people had gathered to mourn his loss, meaning that there were a lot of people around his house at the time. And in the midst of all of the mourning and the wailing and the not so comforting words from others, Jesus walks to the entrance of the tomb and calls Lazarus to come out. And he did. Lazarus walks out alive. You can imagine the shock of the people who were all standing around who saw this. Most of them saw Lazarus laid in the tomb 3 days before. And yet, at the command of Jesus, Lazarus is alive again. Wasn't he the one who was dead? Many probably whispered among themselves. Well, this miracle certainly drew a crowd. Those who saw it and those who were told about it. So then next, John tells us that Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and many of those at Lazarus' tomb are now with Jesus. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard and had seen he had done this sign. Miracles draw crowds. And in the case of Palm Sunday, it was a very large crowd indeed. Again today, we have another crowd drawing together because of a miracle. The scene is the temple. Peter and John are entering the temple to pray as this crippled man is being placed by the gate called Beautiful. The man is crippled from birth, and everyone knew him and expected to see him begging at the gate. The man asks Peter and John for some spare change, and Peter says, "I have something far better for you than a few coins." Peter says, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And the man jumps to his feet and begins to walk around the temple courts. Many of the people in the area saw the man. Isn't this the crippled man from the Beautiful Gate? The witnesses are amazed and they are filled with wonder and they come running to Peter. Miracles draw crowds. I'm sure we would be right there with them, wouldn't we? Wanting to know more, wanting to see more. And as our text opens up for this morning, Peter does not disappoint. Wanting another miracle, he gives the people one even better than healed legs. See, the constant in all of this so far is Jesus. And through Peter, Jesus offers forgiveness to the horrible, horrible actions of the people. Think about it for a moment. Who was Jesus, or is Jesus actually? God himself, right? The one who became true man in order to save us. And what kind of things did Jesus do in his ministry? He helped people. He healed diseases, cast out demons, raised the dead. He even forgave sins, especially the tax collectors and other sinners who knew full well that they needed it. Did Jesus do anything to deserve death? Certainly not. Even Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent and planned to release him. But the religious leaders were jealous and resented Jesus, calling out their pride and hypocrisy. He was a menace, a threat to their power and positions, so he had to go. So just a few days after the people who followed him from Lazarus' tomb call for the death of Jesus. "Crucify him," they shout, wanting to save Barabbas instead of this gentle rabbi. They wanted him dead, and that's exactly what they got. And as the crowd is drawn by this miracle, and they stand before Peter, Peter says to them, You killed the author of life. It's hard to imagine a worse sin than that, isn't it? I mean, sure, there is Adam and Eve choosing to eat a piece of fruit at the price of death. But, you know, when you say it out loud, it does not seem as bad as crucifying the Son of God. So if anyone deserved to rot in hell, it was those people standing in front of Peter. But instead of delivering God's curse, he offers another miracle. "Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out." That your sins may be wiped out, erased, gone for good. That's the miracle of forgiveness. Forgiveness of their sins, or any sin, is possible only for one reason, and that is because God is the kind of God that he is. For when Adam and Eve first sinned, the rest of us followed lockstep with them to fill up mankind's wickedness. God acted to save. His love and his mercy was greater than the sin of Peter's hearers, even the sin of killing the Son of God. His love and mercy is greater than our sin. You see, not only did he promise, starting with Adam and Eve, to save sinners, but he kept that promise and sent his Son, who, yes, died, but then rose again on the third day. Jesus, the great sin bearer, Jesus, the great death dyer, but rising from the dead. And by so doing, he wins. Not death, not sin, not Satan. Jesus wins. Sin has been blotted out, and that is what Peter is offering, even to those who killed Jesus. For even the very worst of sins was conquered at the resurrection of Jesus. Unfortunately, there probably are some here, maybe all of us, who have a sin in our life too big to forget. Perhaps it's something really embarrassing or something scandalous that nobody knows but us, and we simply cannot forget it. Maybe it's a recurring sin that we can't get over, and we simply do it again, again, and again. Sin like these can haunt us. They can trouble us. They refuse to leave us alone, but do leave us wondering, is this too big for God to forgive? Will he even forgive me? Well, the answer is yes, he does. That's what this text is all about. There is no sin too big to forgive, even if we can never forget it. God forgave David. He was a murderous adulterer. God forgave Paul, who persecuted and killed Christians. He even forgave Peter, who denied him three times in his hour of most need. And it's the same Peter who held out forgiveness from God, who would send back Jesus to restore all things, to the very people who killed the author of life. Yes, they killed him, but he did not stay dead. Easter is God's answer to your sin. Yours, mine, all of it. And there is a lot of it. The whole world is filled with sin, and history is its record. But there is something greater than sin. And it's part of history also. For God, almighty and all gracious, has entered our world in the person of his Son to rescue us, to die and rise again, to blot out our sins. That is an amazing miracle. May our risen Lord use us, as he did Peter, to draw crowds here to experience the miracle of forgiveness for themselves. Amen.